Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.
Hi lads, I want to congratulate Molly Nocta on a super win yesterday. They showed togetherness, discipline, determination and guts. Bring on Dr. Croaks. A happy Longford man, Jerry Smith. Met yourself and Alan in Croke Park at Longford against Dublin. Happy Christmas to you and yours, lads. Keep up the great work. Yeah, Jerry, was great to meet you that time. I do remember it well.
I remember it well. Jerry was sound.
Yeah, and it was a brilliant win. It was a brilliant win. And of course, as usual with the GAA, if you want to get the essence of what it means to local people, you have to go to local radio. This was the commentary on Shannonside FM. Have a listen.
And now there's another shamazzle going on. And you know what? They can shamazzle all the feckin' well like, because Molly Nocta are winning by 2 points, Liam.
Well, I'm not going to get another day out of this shirt, John, because it's actually sweating here now at this moment in time. And it's absolutely phenomenal. The back line, everything was phenomenal by Molly Nocta. 1-8, players 1-6, 2-point lead, dangerous lead. Squeaky bum time, just get the ball out.
David McGivney is standing all alone away out here to the left, not all alone, but he's looking for
that's it.
And St. Columbus coming off Longford are the Leinster Senior Club Football Champions of 2018. It is absolutely brilliant. The little half parish from North Longford, Ahanoran, Clunna, Clunneen, Colleen Moore, Derry, Castle and Drumna Creher, Kilmore, Lackfield, Leitrim, Mullinroe and Toome are the 11 townlands that have beaten the 40,000 from Stranorgan or thereabouts. I think they have 4,000 members. Well, they're a great club, Kilmacud, and they fought every inch of the way, but it was 15 against 15. Mullinocta never lost faith.
My favourite line out of that is one of the co-coms worried that he's not going to get another day out of his shirt because the sweating that was going on.
Get that man a new shirt.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Okay, look, I'm delighted to say that we are joined by John Keegan, midfielder from Molly Nocta and, of course, a key member of the Leinster Club Championship winning side over the last few years. John, it's a pleasure to have you on.
No problem. Delighted to be here.
How are the celebrations going?
My father's obviously chairman of the club, and his phone and my own phone, they're absolutely humming this morning. But you look at it, it's great. Everybody, there's national coverage at the minute, and we had Marty Morrissey down to the school as well. So,
oh, you're blessed. You've made it when Marty turns up.
Yeah, so great excitement. But you look at it, as Shane Mulligan said, our captain, a couple of weeks ago, people couldn't pronounce Mullinocta, but now it's rolling off the tongue. So I think we're trending on Twitter at this stage.
How was last week, the build-up to the game? We had Mickey on the show with us on Thursday night. He sounded very relaxed, said the players are very calm and focused, and really it was a kind of shot to nothing almost. There was no pressure because, I suppose, you're in bonus territory. Was that how you felt going into the game?
Yeah, I suppose I'd done a lot of interviews myself last week, and I kind of felt, even from talking to different people, that I suppose it was great. It was a great story. The David versus Goliath was a great story for the media to kind of roll in on. But I don't think anyone really believed that fairy tale was going to continue. I think everyone felt that, look, the odds are heavily stacked against us, and Kilmacud were going to put an end to that. But in that group of players, that band of brothers, as we call it, there was a real belief, and I think Mickey is core to that. That, you know, it's 60 minutes of football, and if we got close to our potential, we'd be hard beaten. And obviously, last week we played it down that, look, we're delighted to be there. And that was completely true. But in that group of players, there was a belief that if we stick in the game and we get close to our potential, we'd be there, thereabouts. And coming on to the end, if we're in touching distance of them at all, something will present itself. And luckily it did. And Gary done the business coming on to the end.
It literally is, John. You said band of brothers, but there's James and Dave McGivney, there's 5 McGilligots, Aidan, Keane, Connor, Dolan, Rory, there's Francis and Shane Mulligan, there's Patrick and Brendan Fox. So literally you are a squad made up predominantly of brothers, and the connection that must develop on from that has to be a huge part of your success this season.
Yeah, look, a lot of people ask, what's the difference between yourselves and other teams? And not necessarily a difference, but what we have is unity, and there's a huge unity in that team. And as I said, a band of brothers. Myself, I was studying last year, went back to do an MBA, and you know, Mickey and the lads would have been very facilitating in, you know, the understanding you have other commitments that will try and move trainings to make sure that you can attend. And we try and accommodate people as best we possibly can. But every time we cross that white line, you know the lad beside you is going to put his shoulder to the wheel. There's going to be no stone left unturned in preparations. And look, we'll go out and stand beside each other and thankfully yesterday got us across the line.
I mean, it's an overnight success in one way, but it's actually not, because you're obviously county champions 3 years in a row. You had a very good go against St Vincent's, Lomond's as well, where you had that lead and just couldn't put it away. So this is actually 3 years in the making for this team.
It is, yeah. I said earlier in the week, all I wanted to do was win one senior championship. In 2014-15, we're getting ourselves in positions to go and win games, but weren't seeing them out. We won a senior championship, and it was a childhood dream. That's all I ever wanted. I could retire there. And then we went on to do the double. We've done three in a row, and waking up this morning as Leinster champions. But it's very much a work in progress. I suppose the last couple of years, we, as you said, we got a taste for Leinster. We were after beating Stradbally and Lomond to get close to Vincent's. And look them up against a better team, a superior team that day. But I suppose the lads got a taste for Leinster. But it's very, very difficult. And we would have said before every game this year, lads, it's so hard to get here. So grab the game by the scruff of the neck. Don't let it pass you by. And let's put money out on the map. And look, it got us through the quarter final. It was a big game going to Tullamore to beat Roe. They would have been hot favourites to get to that Leinster final. That was a big one for us to kind of go on the road. We had all the ones were home games to date. So to go to Tullamore and get a win against a big club team in Leinster was a big one for us. And then, got to the final and got across the line yesterday. It's fairy tale stuff. I think it'll probably be Christmas till we look back and appreciate what's actually after happening here.
That's totally understandable. And like, you know, you mentioned the David versus Goliath line that the media used to build up to the game, and I suppose that was a natural pickup, because you look at this, the size of Mullinocta, and you know, Kilmacud Crokes have 4,800 members. You guys have 114 adult members of the club, and I was, you know, looking at yourself, your own story. You know, you mentioned working from Dublin, the consultancy work that you do, the commitment that you have to make yourself. There's a lot of guys in the team who also have to do likewise just to get to training, and if one or two members of that chain, if one or two links of that chain don't fulfil those commitments, John, I imagine the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah, we're very stretched. I think it's been well documented that we've stayed injury free, which is a miracle in itself, really. You know, you usually pick up some niggles along the way, but we've been very, very lucky. I suppose testament to the lads to be doing their own work off the pitch as well, but we'd be very reliant on absolutely everybody that we have. And in fairness, everybody's made a commitment, everybody makes the sacrifices, they're down. We meet collectively 3 days a week, and then you'd be doing your own bits on the side, but everybody makes those commitments. And look, at it in GAA, and I suppose in small clubs like Mullinocta, but in small counties like Longford, those commitments can go unrewarded a lot of the time. But thankfully, I'm just delighted for this group of players that they're reaping their rewards at the minute.
Did you think Gary was going to get that penalty? Be honest.
Well, did I think he was going to score the penalty?
Yeah, did you think he was going to score it?
I actually didn't look at it.
Did you not?
No, I actually rolled my ankle right before the penalty was given.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get out of the way, because I knew Gary wasn't the man for standing over the ball. He just wanted to kick it as quick as he possibly could. So I wanted to get out of the way. The physio was telling me to sit down. I was like, no, get me out of here. But yeah, Gary's very calm. We had actually said, I think the Crokes keeper had said that his right side was his favourite after the Portlaoise save, because he had obviously made a big save in the Portlaoise game.
Yeah.
So we told Gary go the other way, but Gary obviously had other ideas. He stuck it in the corner, but look, at I seen it on the replays, and cool as you want. And at the minute he kicked it, he's straight out, straight back to work. He's looking, where's his man? But that's just Gary Rogers. He loves finds hard work, and just delighted he was able to put it away.
Were you surprised, John, that the Kilmacud played the way they did in the last kind of quarter or so? You know, the wind at their backs, I think a lot of people watching the game expected them to try and push on and just to see out the game and just open up a bit of a lead that you guys wouldn't come back from, but they actually kind of retreated a bit into a shell. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I suppose I was surprised. We had a big wind in the first half, and I suppose when we were in at half time for the first 5 minutes, the heads would have been down a little bit. We probably should have felt that we should have had a bigger lead. We had
a few silly whites, but it was a difficult wind. But then I suppose they were playing with fire there, with they're only 2 points up. They started to play the ball around the middle. It's always a dangerous game to play. But look, we got our chance, and I suppose you have to take it when it comes.
Yeah.
And obviously it was a big drive. I think it started back at the corner back. It was a nice run of play for the penalty to evolve. And yeah, thankfully Gary just stood up. But look, I think it's easy to say Croke should have done this or that. I suppose all you can play is the ball in front of your face.
Exactly, and you had to make it happen as well. I mean, it wasn't that they gave it to you, you know.
It's difficult at the time.
Before I let you go back and enjoy the celebrations, Mickey Graham, just tell me about how crucial a figure he has been in all this.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I think we before Mickey came, we were always in a position. We were knocking on the door. We were in a position with 10 minutes to go to close out games, but we were always falling short. And Mickey brought a bit of experience and instilled a sense of confidence in players that maybe would have doubted themselves, questioned themselves, am I good enough? Am I out of my league here? And would have instilled a huge amount of confidence and belief and determination in the lads that not only are we good enough to take part here, we can push on here and be one of the best clubs. And try and comprehend that you're one of the best clubs now in Leinster is phenomenal stuff, but a huge amount of work is down to Mickey Graham. I think Cavan have done very well in getting Mickey Graham. He leaves no stone unturned. His preparation is absolutely phenomenal, and Mickey Graham will always be a welcome name and a welcome man in the parish of Mullinata. He can I don't think he's buying too many points this weekend.
No, definitely not. And look, speaking of which, Guido really kind of set down the market with the old celebration, so you guys are going to have to give Kevin Cassidy and the boys a bit of a run for this week, you know that?
Yeah, I think the lads are treating Kevin Cassidy to find out is he left or right, but I think he is a Twitter thing going at the minute, but the covers wouldn't be great on Mullinata, so
okay.
That's great.
All right, we'll keep it quiet. So look, John, I really appreciate your time, a fantastic win, and look, best of luck as well in the semi-final. We'll talk to you, I'm sure, before that. Thanks so much.
Hugh, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, super, super. Harry Lezis, what about Mickey Graham? Yeah, well, we did ask him about that, and we had Mickey on the show last Thursday looking ahead as well. So, yeah, it's just brilliant for everyone. Fantastic win yesterday. So someone else, John O'Connor, it wasn't a smash and grab job. The best team won by far. It was a fantastic example of how Gaelic football should be played. Someone else, great achievement in Mullinocta, in all fairness, but holy God, the Kilmacud throw that away. Well on the way, 4 minutes to go. I guarantee you, Ballymun or Vincent's would never cave in at that late stage. They thought they had it in the bag once again, but fair play to Mull for playing to the final whistle, and I'm no dub either, so there's just two contrasting views, I suppose. And someone else just says, Alan, tell Alan it's women and booze over sport. That reminds me of the, do you remember Alan Partridge, where he's talking to his son Fernando on the phone? He says, Fernando, it's a beautiful day outside and you're spending your afternoons inside with a woman. You're wasting your life. Keeper text coming in. There's loads more about the football, which I'll get back to later on with Clinton Morrison when he's on the line, but I'm delighted to say we have Andy McEntee with us as well. Andy, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, lads. Yeah.
So look, just a quick word on Mullinocta there. I mean, it's the story of the weekend. It's nearly the story of the year. I mean, it's just, when you put it into context of what they've managed to do, Andy, it's brilliant.
Oh, look at it. It's an incredible achievement. And I suppose it really, it epitomises what the GAA is about. I mean, you're looking at the team, a village with the population and the adult membership that you spoke about there, come up against one of the, if not the biggest club in the country. And I suppose it just goes to show you, on any given day, 15 against 15, anything is possible.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I think they're going to be celebrating for quite some time. Look, what did you make of your match of the weekend? 3-11 to 6 points against Laois in the O'Byrne Cup, and the conditions, I was talking to Bernard Flynn yesterday, Andy, and he said the conditions were absolutely horrendous.
They certainly were. The warm-up, or if you could call it a warm-up, it was absolutely horrendous. The rain was coming in sideways. There was a gale force wind blowing. And as such, I suppose, it didn't, to use it as a sample size for the new rules is probably a bad example, if you like. But the game itself was okay. I think both teams really had a bit of a cut at it, but it really would be a poor example and to try and take anything from it. I mean, the idea of the mark trying to kick it 40 or 50 yards in the first place was an issue, but for somebody to hold it at the far end of it was definitely an issue.
Yeah, it seemed to, and I heard a few other managers speak about it as well, like this. these new trial rules seem to be pretty negligible in terms of the influence that they've had on games over the weekend. Is that your, how you'd sum it up? And maybe we need to give it more time to see fully how they're going to be implemented and the difference they're going to make.
Yeah, as I say, a couple of games over the weekend in a Burn Cup is not really a big enough sample to be coming to any sort of conclusive decisions. But at the same time, I think everybody has reservations about some of the rules. I suppose the bottom line is we got to give it a shot. I'm not overly pleased about the way that the adopted set of rules were introduced without any consultation, without any trial period. Whereas, you know, the initial rules were well spoken about. There were a number of games played at school level, at college levels. We played a game. Managers were consulted. Players were consulted, whereas when the rules committee were asked to go and come up with a couple of alternatives, they came back with alternatives, and obviously the decision was, yeah, we'll just run with those. So that's the bit that bugs me as much as anything else. But I suppose we've got to, you know, they're in, we have to have a cut of them and see where it takes us.
The underlying reason for these seems to be to try and make the game more exciting, to try and put more emphasis on attacking football and move away from the blanket defence, I suppose. And I don't know if you read, there was a piece, and I'm just racking my brains here, just off the top of my head, trying to remember who wrote it, and maybe it'll come back to me, about a suggestion that the author of the piece seems to think will solve all the problems, which is basically no back pass to the goalkeeper. So by eliminating the back pass to the goalkeeper, you'll get less short kickouts, because the goalkeeper will be afraid of their life if they kick it short to one of the corner backs and can't get the ball back, that they'd be caught, turned over, and get a score away. So it'll force the goalkeepers to kick the ball long, and it'll push players up further up the field and force them to attack more, rather than starting from the back, you know, passing the ball around, taking their time in the build-up, possession-based football. And that, with one swift stroke, would solve an awful lot of problems. What do you think on the face of it? Is that something that
you should consider? I think he has a fair point there. I mean, I think you're right in saying that the purpose of these rule changes would be to eliminate blanket defence and negative play and side-to-side play and, you know, possession play. And one could make the argument that it's actually going to make it even worse, because if you can't have a series of consecutive hand passes, you know, within shooting distance of the goals, it'll encourage blanket defence.
Yeah.
You get back to how do you beat a blanket defence except maybe a couple of quick hand passes, quick hands here and there, a little bit of extra movement, and you create an opening. Now, if it's restricted to three hand passes, There really is a case for having a crowded defence. And the other side of it is, I mean, if you want to have a mark, I couldn't ask my players, I couldn't afford to allow the opposition catch a clean ball inside 40 yards.
Yeah.
Chances are to score every time.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? You're going to play one in front and one behind. And if you're coming up against a team who has three or four big target men, again, it's going to say, we can't afford to let the likes of Michael Murphy or someone like that catch the ball inside the 45-metre line, because you have to stand off them and it's a score.
It doesn't sound you're too optimistic that these are going to have any kind of real impact, or at least do what they're designed to do.
Yeah, I think they'll have an impact, all right. I think I can get over the hand pass rule. I think we'll get around that. Mm-hmm. I think maybe tinker with it a little bit. I think we'll get around that. I would say it seems to encourage a little bit of more kicking earlier on if fellas get their heads around it properly. I mean, there's loads of occasions where a guy could make a relatively decent foot pass instead of taking the option of a short hand pass. So, I mean, I can see that working to a certain extent. But I think the rule that could change the dynamic of the game as such is the mark inside 40 metres, whereby you could have someone like Rory Beggan kicking the ball out.
Mm-hmm.
70 yards, caught in the middle of the field, you have to step off. Fella kicks it another 40 yards, it's caught at the other end, you have to step off, and it's kicked over the bar.
Andy, your vision and, I suppose, philosophy on the game and how it should be played and what you've been encouraging the lads since you've been involved with Meath, how much do these changes kind of make you veer away from that, or is it just a case of adapting, or is it frustrating sometimes all these rule changes that sometimes it seems it's change for change's sake?
It's a little bit frustrating, and if the truth be known, the feedback that we get from the players is that it's a little bit frustrating. And, you know, having spoken to a couple of them, you know, talking about what you know, is the game that bad? Mm-hmm. I mean, I go back to the best game of football that was supposedly ever played was the All-Ireland semi-final in 1977. And if you sat down and analysed that, there was a lot of pretty poor stuff in that too. So you're always, I mean, everyone's kind of looking, things are always better and there's no catching and kicking anymore. And that's all very fine. And I do agree, the games where the ball is continuously going side to side and we're looking at possession. It's not a great spectacle. But is the National League the place to tinker with that? It's arguably the best competition that we have.
Yeah.
For 80 to 85% of the teams in the country, it's their main competition. And now we're making an experiment out of it. And that's the bit that kind of bugs me. You know, if you're going to make a real experiment out of it, does that mean you suspend the outcome of it? Because, you know, within 3 or 4 weeks, we're going back to playing a different game.
I presume and I hope, Andy, that you're going to get a huge crowd at Park Charlton on Sunday the 16th. So this is Dublin against Meath. There's a fundraiser for Sean Cox, the Liverpool fan who everyone remembers the horrific incident that happened to him going to a match, and as he continues with his recovery. But I'm hoping at least that you're going to get a massive turnout here in support for this night.
Oh, I hope so. I think it's a great opportunity for certainly for Meath people and for Dublin people to get out and support a really good cause. But also to see, from our point of view, to see Dublin coming down to Navan is always a great occasion. Well, it used to be a great occasion. It hasn't happened often enough in the recent past. But we like to make a really good occasion out of this, not just money. I'd love to be able to turn around next week and for Martina, Sean's wife, maybe to bring a video into Sean and see a packed out Park Charlton.
Yeah.
And see, does that spark any sort of reaction with Sean himself?
Yeah, well, we're expecting 10,000, I think, at the moment, but we're going to tweet out a link as well to tickets and the GoFundMe page as well if anyone wants to help out. Andy, it's great to talk to you. We didn't even get to mention the 5 debutants on the team, but we'll do it again maybe after Christmas if that's okay. And best of luck with the rest of the O'Byrne Cup and towards the league as well.
Yeah, thanks, lads. Thanks
Super.
Very much.
Appreciate thanks, Wayne. Super. Andy McEntee there. Yeah, Meath off to a good start in the O'Byrne Cup. Just a couple of texts in on this one. Lads, please don't let managers try and get rid of the introduction of the new rules. Give them a fair try, including the sin bin. The previous attempts at rule changes were scuppered by, among others, two good friends of mine, Mick O'Dwyer and Sean Boylan, says Gustav Patrick in Kildare. Well, look, the rules are going to be trialled, and that's here to say, but I can understand certainly managers' frustrations at how they're brought in. And I just question, you know, are they going to solve the problems that they're being brought in to try and solve?
I'm kind of half and half. I'm a little bit with Andy as well. Is the game that bad? And I know we see some games where he's saying side to side, whatever, but I don't think it's as bad as they make out, that you have to be seen to be making changes left, right and centre. That's, and I'm just speaking as a fan going to watch the games.
Yeah.
They don't seem all that bad to me.
Okay, 51552 is our text number. We've got Premier League, we've got rugby and racing after these.
Game on 2FM. Weekdays from 7.